All this week, we're looking at President Trump's first year in office and the real policy changes of his administration. Yesterday, we looked at the economy. Today, the courts. When President Trump came into office, he inherited around 100 judicial vacancies, nearly twice as many as President Obama had in his first year. Back in September of 2016, we talked to Russell Wheeler, a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution's Governance Studies Program, to forecast how President Trump might change the courts.
Currently, Democratic appointees are majorities on 9 of 13 courts of appeals, and they have a majority among district judges. I would not be surprised that come 2020, that will be, if not reversed, at least there will be Republican majorities on many more courts of appeals, and the district courts overall will probably have more Republican appointees than Democratic appointees.
Well, over a year later now, we caught up with Russell Wheeler to assess Trump's impact so far.
He's appointed 9 district judgeships, which is a pretty small number. He's appointed 12 Court of Appeals judges, but there are today only 2 more Republican-appointed judges on the Court of Appeals than there were on Inauguration Day. For the individual courts, courts with majorities of Republican appointees hasn't changed at all. It's still 4. There are several reasons for that. One is that most of the judges who have left in the last year were Republican appointees, and most of the appointments he made were to courts that already had sizable majorities of Republican appointees. So while obviously that's going to change, for the moment, it really doesn't look much different. Now, he's got 12 in place. They will begin to work their effects gradually, but I think at this point, we're talking more about potential change than actual change.
And for that potential change, are there a lot of vacancies giving President Trump and a Republican majority in the Senate a big opportunity to reshape the judiciary?
There are 17 vacancies now. 6 of them have nominees in place, and there's 1 nominee for a future vacancy. The Democrats don't have the filibuster anymore, but they do have ways of slowing the machinery down and gumming up the works, and they've been using that. The same kind of factors that mean that the government, you know, had to shut down over the weekend, I think explains the judicial confirmation process. It's just full of polarization.
Well, let's talk about the Supreme Court for a moment. Are conservatives happy looking back with Neil Gorsuch after this first year and the broad strategy by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans to make sure he got on the Supreme Court?
I think they're very happy with Gorsuch. He's turning out to be just what everybody hoped he'd be, and that is in the mold of Antonin Scalia. And they praise McConnell for the tactic that you just mentioned. Whether or not in the long run they're going to look back on that and say that was a good thing is difficult to say, because I'm afraid we may be reaching the point that the only way presidents can get judges confirmed for the Supreme Court or even the Court of Appeals is if the president has a Senate controlled by the same party. And I should point out as well that on the Court of Appeals, the Garland tactic played out in miniature. The Senate confirmed in 2015-16 only 2 of Obama's appointees to the appellate courts, far fewer than previous 7th and 8th year Senates controlled by the other party had confirmed. And so that's left a bad taste in everyone's mouth as well. So come 2018, if the Democrats take the Senate, I think we could see confirmations just come to a halt.
Well, Russell, you said that the pace of filling vacancies on the federal courts hasn't been too terribly fast under President Trump so far, but that this pace is likely to pick up. Pick up how much? What do you think is in the future for the next year of federal nominations here?
Sure. He has made a record number of nominees to the courts of appeals, 12. One more, I might say, than did Kennedy, Nixon, or Reagan. That pace, actually, I wouldn't characterize that as slow. And if I said slow earlier, I didn't mean it. What I meant to say was, because of the nature of the appointments and who these judges replaced, there hasn't been much of a change in the composition of the appellate judiciary. I can't imagine it's going to have that same pace this year because of all the rancor on Capitol Hill as well as the election coming up. So if he gets another 12 confirmed, I'd be quite surprised.
And the district courts, what about there?
Well, they'll be picked up. I said he's gotten only 9 confirmed so far, which is quite a bit lower than Clinton or Reagan and others who were up in the 20s and the 30s. But he's got quite a few nominees on the executive calendar to get confirmed. So I suspect that might pick up, even if the confirmation of appellate judges slows down a bit, because they're perceived to be more important from a standpoint of judicial policy. I think the district bench will start getting quite a few confirmations.
Russell Wheeler, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Russell Wheeler is a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution's Governance Studies Program.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.